This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, hello, welcome one and all to Fender Bender for another week. My name is Tim Nicholson. Very excited to be here with you today for another Saturday, talking about cars and car-like things, anything to do with cars, steering wheels, I don't care, whatever, guys. Big thanks, of course, to Mark and Joe, who will be back next week, I believe, for Escape Pod. And a big welcome into the studio for the last time in a little while, Mike Costello and Dan Gardner. Hi, boys.
Hi, Tim.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Are we gonna go out with a bang?
Well, that might happen after the show.
Wow.
But it's true. This is our last time in the studio for a little while.
About 3 months. We're going to rest for a quarter.
Yeah.
I'm feeling some serious melancholia at the prospect of having to be away for 3 months. But, you know, everybody needs a break sometimes.
And it's true.
Including
it's
our listeners. You know, you must be sick of this by now.
They probably are. Yeah. But, look, you know what? If we feel a bit sad, what we could do is just come in and just stand here at the window of the Joy Studios. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And just lick the windows.
Yeah, waiting for someone to buy us and take us home.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. No one's going to do that. But, no, it is our last show. But we'll be back in about 3 months. And there's some fantastic programming starting next week for Joy. So make sure you check joy.org.au and go to the programs tab, and you can see all of the new shows coming up.
And if you simply cannot bear to be without the drolling of my strange tones, then you can tune in a couple of weeks, because I'm back on Weekender Extender.
Are you?
Yes, from April 14th.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
Or you could just make friends with us and hang out with us. We've been here talking all the time.
Don't be insane.
I'm sure I'm happy with that agreement.
Or the other option is podcasts, joy.org.au/FenderBender. We have loads of podcasts, and there will be more coming up in early April, so make sure you check that. But anyway, we still do have about 53 minutes of programming, so we should probably stop.
Have we planned
about
anything?
No. We're just going to talk about the fact that it's our last whole day. The whole day, guys. Now, we've got a big show coming up. We're actually going to be speaking to Gordon and Ellie, who are two lovely blokes who came in last year. We remember we chatted to them about the shitbox rally. We're allowed to say that word because it's an official thing.
All right.
That's
pretty edgy.
Well, look,
if there's ever a time to be edgy, well, you know, we've got 3 months in the clear, don't we?
Exactly.
So let's just start dropping.
What are they going to do, sack us?
F-bombs
exactly.
All over the place.
The whole shebang, right? Guys. Exactly. So we're going to be chatting to them about their shitbox rally attempt this year, which is coming up.
Stop
in a month
saying
or so.
It. You're doing it gratuitously now, just because you can.
What, saying to. Shitbox?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
It's outrageous.
I'm going to get through the whole, I'm going to see if I can not say it.
That's not going to happen. That's okay, not going to happen.
You see, you can try and trick me into saying it at some point.
We probably will. So we're going to be chatting with them very, very soon. We're also going to have a look at, because we're going to be away for 3 months, so there's a couple of motor shows that are happening while we're away, so we're going to have a look at what's coming up at those, what we can expect. And we've got a bit of news and some other things coming up. So do stick around, if you will, please. But I do want to start the show with a bang.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to start the show with a bang. One of the most significant models in Australian history, model upgrades, has arrived in Australia. And I don't know how to say it, so I'm just going to say the words. Toyota Hiace has a new grille.
You can't be serious.
Right, what else we got in the news, Anton?
No, there is no more news. This is all we'll be talking about for the next 50 minutes.
Well, come on. Look, this is an important thing. I know it might be dull as dishwater, but, you know, how... Well,
lots of people buy those things.
Hey, the airport valet industry is going bonkers for this right now.
Well, yeah. They're all lining up to pick up delivery of
taxis are actually dancing in the streets.
Yeah.
Because it's got DRLs.
You don't mind driving a bit of a strange, like, tradie van, though, sometimes, do you? You're a bit partial.
I get to pretend that I'm actually a real man when I drive vans, rather than just some imposter.
Yeah.
Mm, who doesn't like driving a van?
It's fun. Yeah, exactly. I agree. Mm. I like driving a big van as well.
I actually have drifted a van around a racetrack.
Oh.
Yeah. So not many people can say they've drifted a van before.
That's true. My favourite thing
not about intentionally, drive- anyway.
The, why is that something you have done?
No, Dan.
The best thing about driving a van is being really courteous and kind to other road users.
Ah.
Yeah, because people are just, it's totally perplexing for every other road user. They're not expecting you to be nice or courteous in any way at all. And then suddenly you let people pull out of junctions. You don't drive right on their ass. You know, and it's brilliant. People look at you like, who is this bizarre excuse for a human being?
Yeah.
He's actually behind the wheel of a white van and not driving like a Burke.
I know, it's true. It's very true. Good on you for doing
I
that.
I like how you're kind of being edgy by being nice.
Yeah.
It's got a real nice kind of...
Charm offensive.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's good.
Weird. Story of my life.
so he thinks. Now,
shut up, Tim.
Yeah.
There you go. Not anymore. I'm going to be mean to everyone for the rest of the... Ooh, I don't know. Why did you bring up a picture of Miura then? That was lovely.
Well, because that I'm leading into our next story, Dan, which is some bad news, actually. Moving on from the exciting news of the highest, as if we can't calm down from that.
And really, like, front-page aesthetics.
Absolutely. We're moving on to Bertone, which is going through the motions to file for bankruptcy, unfortunately.
Bertone, no.
Yeah, so this is iconic Italian design house. They've designed so many cars, which we'll have a look at very shortly. They might get bought out, but it's not looking great.
Bertone has too much of an illustrious history and its name is way too strong to not get bought out.
Yep.
It'll be bought out by a Chinese company. Don't you worry about that.
Do you reckon?
Just like Volvo was, just like Saab was, just like MG was, or perhaps an Indian company just like Jaguar Land Rover was. But there is this real symbiosis now between cashed up companies from third world countries or developing markets. No, not third world, that's the wrong word, but developing markets. Buying established European names who are struggling for money but have a lot of cred. There's a real kind of alliance forming between those two, and I reckon Bertone will be another one of those.
I'm a bit nervous about this negotiation, who's going to grab it, because I completely agree with Mike. I think it will be most likely to be Chinese, possibly Indian. The first company that springs to mind when we talk about a similar scenario is dear old MG. Look what happened there.
I think the difference is with this company, though, because it's so designed, they got rid of their coach building thing a couple of years ago, sold it to Fiat. So it's mostly just design now.
And maybe Sergio Marchionne, the head of Fiat, who is a very charismatic, interesting fella, might decide to purchase the design arm as well.
It would make sense.
I mean,
considering
they want to grow Alfa Romeo substantially and Maserati.
And Bertone have been responsible for a shed load of Fiat and Alfa products, and is Maserati and Ferrari are all in that group.
Absolutely.
Come on, Sergio, let's put together some kind of,
some kind of deal.
Change.org
Once again, Fender Bender solving the problems of the world.
It's true.
Why doesn't everyone just ask us first? It's pretty simple when it comes down to it.
I know, right?
Maybe we should run just very quickly past some of the cars that Bertone have actually done. You can't go past what is quite possibly the most gorgeous car ever made. In my opinion, the best looking car, the original supercar, the Lamborghini Miura of the early 70s.
I think it's the first time I can have ever agreed on anything.
A car that actually has eyelashes.
That's my favourite part. And I think
it set the standard, and in my opinion, no supercar since has matched it. It is just mind-bogglingly beautiful.
It's stunning.
There's actually a guy in the industry, the car journalism industry, whose family own a Miura, and I've been angling to get a drive in it for years. Haven't yet. Will one day.
Can we beat him up?
I think so. The three of us combined.
It won't get you any closer to driving the car.
No.
It might just be great fun.
I think so.
In the famous Black Books line, three of us combined might equate to one third of one of him.
Yes, well, we can give it a go. We can give it a red-hot go. But no, you're right. And look, there's a number of Lamborghinis. The very first Countach, actually, was designed as well by Bertone.
And it adorned the walls in poster form of every single young motoring enthusiast in the world in the 80s.
And maybe a 35-year-old motoring writer now.
Well,
still on my wall, which is a bit disturbing.
No doubt with a bikini-clad model.
Yes.
Across the bonnet of it.
Named Bruce. But some of the more interesting ones that they've done as well were like a kind of 80s Bertone designs. Do you guys remember? So Citroën had a couple of things in the 80s that I just love. The BX hatchback, really kind of squared off, odd-looking thing. But the XM, which was like a hatchback and a wagon in the kind of late
80s. Oh, yeah. Did they do that, did they?
Yep.
Wow. Ooh, there you go.
That just turns me right off.
Oh, dear. Ooh, Tim loves a sensible French car.
Oh, there's nothing sensible about that one, I think.
Well, it's kind of, it's good, looks good, but it actually was quite practical.
Was it? Yeah, it probably would have been.
Fiat X19 is my offering.
Ah. How good is that?
Absolutely delightful little car. You know, it's got all. It just shouts Bertone about it. But there's millions.
But let's not think that it's just the past. I mean, even 2 years ago, they teamed up with Jaguar to make the B99, which was an absolute show stealing car. I think it was the Frankfurt Motor Show, maybe the Geneva Motor Show. Years ago, yep. It just stole the show. Absolutely drop dead gorgeous.
BMW C1, did they do that too?
They did.
So this is the more we talk about this
design house.
No,
it is such a part of the fabric of automotive history, going back decades. We can't lose it.
And even just the simple things like trucks, some of the trucks they've designed for Scania and someone else, just really interesting looking trucks. And things like the Astra convertible from a couple of generations ago.
It's just a good looking car.
They didn't get it right all the time.
Oh, see, I really like that. I thought that was a terrific design. But
I know.
Yeah, you're right. We're just going to put together a fund and we're just going to send our money to Italy via a Nigerian bank. And it will all work really well. So good luck. And we will, I was going to say, we'll keep you updated to see what happens. But we will via the Facebook because we won't be on air, of course. Now, some other news, guys, going from sad news to possibly good news. I don't know. It depends what we're talking about here. BMW adding another model line to their expanding range. Now, look, this thing... this is something that I actually kind of go, this could work. It's the BMW X7.
See, I suppose... at least it's a traditional, logical move.
Right.
See, BMW's obsessed with these niche models as well, like X4s and X6s and 4 Series Grand Tourers and all these weird cars that don't actually fit anywhere. At least the X7 is sort of a traditional. It'll give them a rival for Range Rover and for the Mercedes GL.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's a good thing, but they're doing it for one reason and one reason alone. The Chinese and the Americans absolutely love big, lardy 7-seat. wagons.
It's true.
And BMW don't have one, and they need one.
They do.
So this will give them one.
And it's going to be built in America as well, so I mean, the Americans will lap that up, I think.
No doubt it will be coming to Australia, because those sorts of cars also do well here, so...
It's true. We are increasingly lardy here in Australia.
Is this the largest... I'm just trying to work it out in my head. Is this the last model that they've put an X before the number of? Is it clean sweep now? X1... we haven't got an X2 yet, but that'll be next.
Surely.
Guaranteed. X3, X4, X5, X6, X7. There you go. It's the full shebang.
Oh, my God. Imagine if they do a sporty version, X8.
Oh.
I bet you they will, too.
God, they will.
I bet you they will. And it'll have that weird angled rear three-quarter line.
I'll wake up sweating in the middle of the night about things like that.
I feel sick. Yeah, so that's happening. So that's, I guess it's exciting. I'm not really sure I have an opinion on it, but it's happening.
Look on the bright side. If they sell lots of those, they can afford to fund a really awesome M4 in this next generation.
Exactly. Fingers crossed, fingers crossed. Other interesting news, GM have pulled Opel out of China, boys.
So
Opel just gets pulled out everywhere, doesn't it?
Against its will.
They tried it in Australia, they tried it in China, they tried it all over the world, and I think GM's realising now that no one gives a damn about Opel except Europe.
Yep.
No one buys them. I mean, the reason they're pulled out of Australia is, as much as we say, oh, Opel, what a great brand, nobody bought the things, and so they were gone. And it's the same in China. What did they sell? 4,000 sales
in
last
year
in China?
Yeah.
Wow,
that's pretty bad.
Is about as catastrophic as failures get, isn't it?
China is 4,000 sales would be crap in Australia, and the Chinese market's what, 20 times bigger than ours?
Wow. And they had 22 dealers there. That's pretty substantial. So that's look, and what they're going to do is kind of rebadge some of those model as Buicks, which, you know, could be what we'll see here in Australia with Holden, maybe. We'll see. But look, it's GM pulling out of everywhere. They pulled Chevrolet out of the out of Europe. It's there's just lots of withdrawals happening all over the world.
Hello.
Stop it.
Why do you have that wry smile on your face when you said that? It wouldn't have been an innuendo if you hadn't done that smile.
I didn't say anything, Dan.
No, I know you didn't have to, did you, Tim?
Oh, dear.
Okay. It's probably for the best having a bit of a break for 3 months.
We've had a message from Daryl regarding our last segment on Bertone, saying, what about the Alpha 105 GTV from 66 to 70? 76 and the 1600 and the 1750. A lot of Alphas, a lot of classic Alphas.
Huge
I think
amounts.
They did the Brera as well.
Yep.
GT. Some of the most stunning Alfa Romeos. Well, that goes without saying. It's an Alfa, of course, it's going to be stunning. But Tony did it.
Yep.
That's true. Can't lose it.
That's true. Boys, now something happened on the internet this week, or it happened in real life and somebody captured and put it on the internet. it's been around the traps. We've probably already seen it, but this is the woman who was videoing on her phone in America, driving down some highway, and some redneck douche in a massive Ford ute behind her was tailgating her the whole time. And then he pulled up alongside her and started giving her the bird. You've seen this? Have you seen the video?
I haven't, actually.
Well, look, I strongly recommend if you're out there, just do find it on YouTube. It is incredible, because then when he passes her, sticking the finger up to her, gets around in front of her, loses control of the car and crashes in a ditch.
Fantastic.
And this is what she says after it happens. Wait for it.
That's what you get! All on video, buddy!
Oh, good.
Amazing.
Isn't that incredible? I just loved hearing that. Just her laugh, like, you evil woman, but I love it.
I would have been tempted to pull up alongside and just watch afterwards, the aftermath.
Totally. Well, yeah, exactly. But also, probably not great safety to be taking videos while you drive. Maybe.
Yeah, isn't that slightly incriminating? She's kind of like put herself in a bit hot water potentially there. Anyway, isn't this a great argument for why they should make traction control and stability control standard across them, which is what's happened in Australia? Yes, that is the thing.
I believe they call it a giant tank slapper.
Yes.
What this guy was doing.
Absolutely.
In technical terminologies.
I think I've done that in the bedroom before.
Hello.
So that's natural selection at work. You can see that there, isn't it?
It is very much so. We've got lots more to come up, guys. So
say it whichever way you like, Tim.
I will. So cool. Do stick around. We've got lots more very, very shortly, including Gordon and Ellie, to tell us about the shitbox rally. See? I got it in one more time. Oh, this is Ben Defender on Joy 94.9. Well, go Pies.
Go Hawks.
Waiting for it. Oh, dear. Dan,
you're
a pink magpie.
I know what you're doing. You just slung little throwaway glances at me as if to kind of arouse me to the bait there. But you know, see what I'm doing here? See what I'm doing? Couldn't give
what kind of Collingwood fan are you?
I know.
Willing to.
A new age is Collingwood fan.
One with teeth and
And can string sentences together and does not rise to the bait when people goad me about football. There you go.
How boringly mature of you.
I know. It's infuriating, isn't it?
Was that an Alec Guinness impersonation?
No, it wasn't.
It was spot on.
No, I could do a Rex Harrison one, though. What is happening today?
Wow.
Look, this is Fender Bender. It's a show all about cars. If you would like to get in touch with us, please text in 0427-JOY-949 or email on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Mike Costello, there has been a launch this week of something, a bit of an icon in Australia, globally, but in particular Australia. Mm-hmm. You've gotten behind the wheel of something pretty important.
Yes, I went to Tassie earlier this week because there's no better roads in Australia to drive a new generation Subaru WRX. No longer called the Impreza WRX, just called the WRX, or Rex, or Rexy, or any other number of nicknames that people have come up with the car. First launched in 1994.
No!
20 years ago that car was launched, and at the time, it really it set a new, I guess, it's kind of hard to express if you weren't there just how much it revolutionised the hot market. I mean, up until then you had the big V8. Aussie muscle cars, and you had a couple of really expensive European and the odd Japanese import, but the Rex came in and it was quicker than anything point to point. It was all-wheel drive and it was cheap as chips, $39,990. The new one, though, is $38,990. It's even cheaper, which is quite remarkable, considering, of course, the landscape for hot cars has changed quite a lot. Now you've got a whole suite of European and Japanese and even Korean hot rivals that it has to go up against, led, of course, by the Golf GTI. And so Subaru has its work really cut out for it. They were saying throughout the development of the car that it was going to be much more differentiated from the Impreza that spawns it than ever. And what we've got is something that isn't that. It's an Impreza with a body kit on it and a bigger engine underneath. Not necessarily a bad thing, though, because that's kind of what the Rex is what it should be. And I don't know why they were so insistent on moving away from that, because the formula works just fine.
And people people like that kind of hot hatch or hot car based on a car already. I don't think that's an issue. But, like, for example, does it have this similar cabin? Is it basically the same?
It basically is. I mean, it's got a few, it's got a nice set of seats in it and a bit more soft touch materials, but it is basically the same. It doesn't have the European class of a Golf GTI at all, not even close, but that's not what it's about. It's got more power than the old one and more torque, but a smaller engine, only 2 litres. It doesn't sound quite as full-on as the previous one, but yeah. It's still a boxer engine. It's still all-wheel drive. It still has all those things that a Rex needs to have.
Yep.
And more importantly, it's still bloody quick.
Is that?
Especially, you know, the grip that this thing has got mid-corner is amazing. The steering is sharper than ever. It feels a bit like a previous generation STI, which is, of course, the even hotter version of the Rex. And the new STI is coming out next month, and if the Rex is as good as the past STI, you can imagine how good the next STI is going to be.
Mm.
The simple thing is,
I've never heard anyone say there's anything good about an STI,
well,
actually.
It's not great naming, is it? The simple thing is, this is a car that's going to appeal to the sort of people that it always has, and probably not others. Except for the fact that now they have an automatic option, which they never did before.
It and there's a big problem with this automatic,
it used to be a manual-only car, which greatly limited Subaru. It was an enthusiast car only, and that, and they wanted to broaden that, especially get more women to buy it. I mean, only 15% of buyers were women. So they've introduced an automatic, but they've only got one automatic in their entire company that they can use, and it is a CVT.
Oh, God.
Not typically the sort of transmission that's renowned for sports cars. Most sports cars have dual-clutch transmissions now, like the Volkswagen's DSG or Ford's PowerShift or something along those lines, because they're much more suited to aggressive driving. A CVT, yeah, it's good for economy driving, but it doesn't have any ratios as such. It doesn't really give an inspiring driving performance.
It's got a 2.5-litre turbocharged flat four bolted to four.
2 litre.
Sorry, 2 litre flat four turbocharged bolted to four wheel drive. This car is no way about economy.
No.
So if they argue that the reason they put a CVT in it is some way improving economy, then I'm sorry.
I don't think
not
it's
listening.
Economy as such. I think it's just Subaru is a small company.
Cash
and it doesn't have a lot of money.
Well, I was going to say, because why wouldn't they tap, you know, they've got a relationship with Toyota. They've got some great gearboxes that they could have possibly.
Well, see, Subaru has made a concession, and they're doing what a lot of companies do with CVTs now, which is they put in ratios, but they're illusory, they're artificial, as Dan will tell you if you ever get him over it.
Oh, here. Don't. I'll be gone for hours.
A CVT,
rise against it.
It doesn't actually have ratios. It can't have ratios. That's by default. But it does fix kind of artificially ratios so that when you use paddles and you're accelerating through the rev band, you can see the rev band go up and down as you would traditionally expect, which gives a bit of a performance flavour. To be honest with you, as far as CVT goes, it's probably the best one I've ever driven.
Okay.
It doesn't have quite the aggressiveness of a dual clutch, and it does sort of take a little bit of an edge off the performance. But the fact of the matter is, it's a good thing for Subaru because a lot more people will buy this car.
Yeah.
It will open doors to an entirely new sort of part of the public that it never had access to before. And with performance cars being such a big deal in Australia, they'll sell tons of them. And that's a good thing because it means I have more money to develop the car moving forward.
Exactly. Do you think that move to make it more appealing to less performance keen drivers damages the WRX brand?
I don't think so. I think if you want that, you've still got that. The manual is still every bit that car. It's still, you know, if I'm on a twisty bit of Targa roads, I mean, the Golf GTI is very refined and the Focus ST is good, but it's front drive and it has a bit of torque steer and a bit of an understeer issue going on. And the WRX, in terms of its grip in all conditions, it just destroys the others. It really does.
I can just see that classic pub conversation. Can't you imagine the boys, they're all out, they're talking about their cars. One of them says, I bought the new WRX, and the other one goes, oh, that's not a true WRX. That's the one they put that gearbox in, that auto gearbox. It's a CVT. My one, I got the last generation one. That's the one that's the true WRX, the one for, you know, like proper real drivers. I can just see that conversation
and
happening up
indeed,
and down the country.
It might indeed happen. I guess Subaru's thing, though, is, you know, we can keep selling cars to the same small group of guys in perpetuity if we want to, and they'll always be those guys that want to buy the new Rex.
Yeah.
But the nature of the business is you can't stand still. It'd be ideal if they had a dual clutch. It would be much better if they did, frankly. They don't. They've done the best they can.
Yep.
And at least they've kept the original car. They've kept some of that soul about it. And it's not perfect. Its cabin's still a bit low rent. Its brakes aren't very good. They never have been very good.
Yep.
And the new one, as much as they say they've improved them, they really haven't. It's still quite noisy. And if you want something that's refined, you're not going to buy this car. If you want something that's a bit upmarket, you're not going to buy this car.
A WRX, actually, if I might jump in, Mike, in my opinion, a WRX does not need good brakes because you just steer around any corner, it will oblige. You don't actually need to slow down.
Basically, myself and my colleague, we did, you know, maybe an hour of driving through some of the rally Targa. That's Targa roads. Wonderful roads. By the end of it, we weren't driving at flat stick.
And, you didn't do a banner, did
you? We're not completely stupid behind the wheel, but we did give it a bit of the berries, and the brakes were smoking by the end of it, and that's not really what they should be doing in a car of this ilk.
Let me ask you, now, people are going to kind of The competition for this car is quite broad, because you could go out and look at something like a Golf GTI or a Renault Sport Megane or an HSV.
Mm.
How do you think that that kind of car, the new Impreza, compares with the GTI or something bigger?
It's one
like
of the only sedans. There is no hatch version anymore, mm-hmm. Because they don't sell many. It's just a sedan, which gives it a point of difference. I mean, only the Skoda Octavia is a hot turbo for sedan out there at the moment. The Rex has all-wheel drive that the others don't have. The Rex has its own kind of iconic image, and its rally-inspired image that the others don't have, except for, obviously, the Lancer Rally Art, which is an ancient car now and not even a patch on the Rex. It falls flat in some ways compared to the Golf. As I said, it's not as refined, and the Focus is better equipped. The Commodore V8 has its own kind of, you know, charm, but it's thirsty and it uses a lot more juice than the others. The Rex definitely fits its own niche. And if you like that kind of rally style, you're not going to... If you were looking at a Golf GTI and you had your heart set on one, you're probably not going to buy a Rex.
Okay.
And probably vice versa.
Yep.
I think there's room for both.
Okay.
And I think they're both good cars, but...
Yeah. Can you get one in World Rally Blue with gold wheels?
Gold wheels, I'm sure you can option them. Rally Blue, absolutely.
Yeah. You would have to.
If I was presented with a snaking ribbon, a Tarmac, and I had the choice of one car to buy in that segment that was a hot, practical car, I would buy the Rex, because it's the most engaging of any of them.
It's got the most esteemed award of all, the Costello 5-star award.
Wouldn't say 5 stars. Brakes are too crap for that. But a solid 4, 4.5. So it's a good thing.
Good to hear. Well, get out there and buy one, everyone. I'm just kidding. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We've got a lot more coming up, so make sure you stick around. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson, and I am here with Mike and Dan. It is 3:33 on a Saturday afternoon, and we've got some guests in the studio, guys. It's a little bit exciting. We've spoken to these boys before, and we're happy to be supporting them again and chatting to them again. I am talking about Gordon and Ellie. Boys, welcome to the Joy Studios.
Hey. Thank you. Thanks for having us back on.
Look, anytime that you want to do a shitbox rally, you are more than welcome to come on.
Once a year,
we get
enough
to say shitbox on the radio.
This is the thing. Exactly. You're giving a license to swear. But no, look, we did speak to you last year. You guys purchased was it an EA Falcon?
ED, $350 worth of delightful ED.
Yep.
What a beautiful thing it was. So we took that from Adelaide to Fremantle down the Great Central Road via Uluru. So it was a bit of an exciting trip in a really, really very crap car.
Now, how did the car cope with those conditions, the weather and everything?
Surprisingly well in a lot of areas. That we didn't overheat, but the car didn't overheat, we did. The windows got stuck on the first day, so the downside of taking electric windows into the desert on a 25-year-old car, those decided not to work, so we had the rest of the trip with the windows up.
Or just take a brick with you next time.
Yeah, that would have worked. get to that point. Might have been for the passenger, but...
Oh dear.
Charming.
Differential went a little bit interesting, so I had some fun times changing diff fluid side of a dirt track in the middle of the outback, but it generally handled it pretty well.
And so, boys, what's the idea behind the shitbox rally? Who kind of started it, and what's the point of it? Why are we doing this?
So it's all on behalf of the Cancer Council. Mm-hmm. It's their principal fundraiser, the principal private fundraiser, community fundraiser. It's certainly the biggest community fundraiser they've got. Last year they raised $1.2 million.
Brilliant.
And it's obviously a very good cause. I think we've all been affected by cancer at some point, someone we know or, some relatives or personally. And so... what a great way, a great fun way. James, the organizer, started it, I think, about 6 years ago, because he had a personal issue with his parents.
Mm.
And it's just grown from strength to strength. So as he views it, the rally at the end is actually the fun part. That's the reward for the fundraising.
Okay.
So we can't lose sight of the fact that the purpose of doing the rally is the fundraising. It's for the Cancer Council. That's why we do it.
And do you have events kind of leading up to it and that kind of thing to do that? Or how do people...
So different teams do it different ways. There's a lot of trivia nights going on around the country. We did a sausage sizzle for the first time, and I haven't had any complaints about food poisoning so far.
Thank God.
Yeah, we haven't heard any anyway. So yeah, that and you know, a lot of begging from friends and you know, Joy listeners, for example.
Absolutely.
If they're minded to donate, that would be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a minimum amount that you have to raise. Obviously, it's for a cause. They don't want you just to come along for a jolly. Last year they had 200 cars dragging through the outback. This year they're going for 250.
Okay.
So 500 people all in fancy dress and...
Yeah. There's a recovery truck driver who's actually planning to retire, as you said that. So good on you for supporting local industry.
They do have very good support, but they drive through a few through. But we were delighted to make about 7,500 of that 1.2 million last
Terrific.
Year.
Yeah.
And hoping to get there again this year.
And so you weren't traumatised enough by last year to just go, you know what, let's just send a check.
Well, it was a fantastic thing to be involved in. It was a lot of fun. The chance to go again, we've jumped at it.
Obviously, we can all agree that this is unanimously a great cause. But are there any people out there who would argue that, you know, driving 250 old cars a long distance is in some ways slightly immoral? Do you ever meet opposition? You say, look,
what do you mean, environmentally?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of fuel. That's a lot of these cars are old. They're not very fuel efficient. They're potentially polluting and using up valuable resources. Suddenly, as I was saying that, I heard my own voice. I feel like a real prick. So can you just ignore that last question?
I mean, look, it definitely has an impact. I mean, these cars are, as you say, old. But hey, look, for some of them, it's the last hurrah. A lot of these cars would go to scrap because realistically, they look like scrap when you're dragging them through the outback.
Giving last life, last good send off. Yeah.
So no opposition then. It sounds like no.
The balance of good it does is
we hope.
What's the most you're allowed to spend on a car?
$1,000.
$1,000.
And that has to include all of the repairs, improvements to get it on the road, registered and roadworthy.
Awesome.
So you're able to prorata the rego, because obviously that would be $700 if you were buying it outright. But the idea is keep your total spend under $1,000.
Jeepers.
Now, I understand that your budget this year has been extended slightly through unforeseeable circumstances.
So we had our original choice of shipbox for this year was a delightful 1987 Nissan Pathfinder. And what a lovely, lovely thing it was. $700 paid for that one from Gumtree, and found that $700 really doesn't get you that great a four-wheel drive. Who'd have thought?
Which generation Pathy was
it? That was a D21, the really square, early, with the four-cylinder engine of fury.
Wow.
The skin was not...
$750 well spent?
No, it's now a lawn ornament. So yes, it didn't make it over the Westgate Bridge. Which was bit of a bad start to it doing Perth to Darwin. So
that you realised early on. I mean, that could have happened, far worse places.
Slightly worrying knock coming from the bottom of the engine, so we thought, let's not take that across the outback and get eaten by dingoes. So that has been replaced by a not too terrible $500 1981 Mercedes. So obviously totally designed for outback conditions.
Of course.
Nothing could possibly go wrong there, except for everything.
The Germanic build, I'm sure, would
build
be...
Build quality is good. The doors occasionally close after a few slams.
At least we don't have to worry about the paintwork on it, because we've done our trademark and covered it in gold contact again.
Gold contact!
It is contact.
That is gorgeous!
It's very wrinkly.
Now, I'm going to put a picture on our Facebook page with, obviously, a link afterwards, so the listeners can have a look at this car, because I've seen it in the image and it looks absolutely terrific. Why gold? Is this a Priscilla, an ode to Priscilla, or is it just, you know, go for gold, like we want to win kind of thing?
Gets rid of a load of rap that we had kicking around the garage. So we thought about it for the theme last year, and that was a conscious decision. Let's do it in gold, do something that really stands out under the desert sun. And this year it was a case of, I want rid of this roll of junk. It looks awesome.
Terrific.
It really works.
That's brilliant. And like when you're... How long are you guys away doing it for? How many days is it all up?
So it's done over a week.
It's
a lot of driving. Some of the days are kind of 10, 11 hours when it's in the longer sections. This year we're going up the Gibb River Road, which is meant to be pretty damn tough for well set up four wheel drives. So doing it in a two wheel drive Mercedes is going to be somewhat interesting. So we expect those sections will be long, long days.
Well, at least it'll be comfortable, I'd imagine. An S-Class of that vintage would have lovely seats that are quite lived in by now.
That's if I can get comfortable, because usually I've got to drive along with my head out the window with the amount of cigarette fumes that are coming from the upholstery. It's not pleasant in there.
Oh, really?
It's $500 worth of Mercedes. Well, it really is worth $500. Yep.
And when you're doing this, are you getting to know the other competitors? I mean, is that the right word? Or participants?
Yeah, it's not really a competition, but there's a little bit of kind of that goes along the way. But yeah, it's a awesome group of people that are all doing it for very, very good reasons. Yeah. So everyone's got their own story, their own reason for why they're doing it, but the people that you meet is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Typically, do most people finish?
A lot of the cars did. I think last year out of 200, they lost about 15 to 20.
That's a whole pretty bloody good effort.
Variety of reasons, and the ones that died were not the ones that we'd have expected to die. Lada Niva, everyone was thinking would be absolutely indestructible, designed for the wilds of Siberia.
Yeah.
Went out in the first couple of days.
No.
The Daimler got that.
Daimler survived.
It
Mighty
survived
boy right
end,
through.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Jeepers.
Can never know.
What would you guys do it in if you had to pick something like $1,000?
God. I don't know, maybe like an old XD Falcon or something.
Yeah.
Because those old Aussie cars are cheap as chips and they're sort of designed for the Aussie conditions, I guess.
It's a lot of Falcons, a lot of Camrys, a lot of Corollas did it.
Going for a Mercedes is a brave choice because it stands out, I'd imagine.
I'd go the original Chimera. I'd probably borrow it from our friend Byron Matthew Darkus.
He would totally do that too.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I would do it in, but I know what I definitely wouldn't do it in, and that is anything designed by Bertone.
Wow.
Guarantee that they put beauty before just about every other aspect of a car.
You're probably
including
right.
Including reliability.
At least Alphas you'll look good on the side of the road, though.
So. Well, exactly.
I don't recall seeing any Alphas.
Oh, there were quite a few Alphas. The Alphas did very well. GTV went storming through, lost its exhaust on about day 3 and just carried straight on.
Jeepers.
Mm.
And is there, like the person that ends up, crossing the line first or whatever, is there any benefit in coming first?
Not first, it's just everyone getting there, it's just an awesome thing. Yeah. So there's no first prize.
Yes,
as long as there's no team effort. And one of the teams who went last year, they had endless problems with their car. I think they lost their alternator, the coolant went
gasket,
3-4 times. They cut holes in the bonnet to try to improve the ventilation. It's a shitbox, you don't care. In fact, one team just discarded the bonnet.
Off. Yeah. The bonnet.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, did that.
Once you cross the finish line, how long do you give the final, like the last person before? Because the only reason I asked is like there was an Ironman competition last weekend, and I remember thinking, do people like stay up all night and wait until, how long do you wait before you just go, nah, they're dead?
They never leave a car behind, but there were people limping in at 3-4 in the morning when the rest of everyone was quite well down the celebratory beer path.
I was going to say, does it get a bit loose at night?
Yeah. Oh yes, there were a lot of hangovers. You have to be very careful planning who's driving the first shift the next day. One of the days it was a totally dry day when we were through one of the indigenous regions. Mm-hmm. So all the booze was loaded into the van. Apparently we broke the van because we had too much booze.
Terrific.
Yeah, a lot of that. Good fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we wish you the best, of course, and we know that you will get to the end.
Oh, we will.
You will. You might smell a lot.
Oh, yes.
There's a big chance of that. And hopefully no dingo attacks. That's I think, a key there. But also, Ellie, I did want to chat to you briefly about... I'm led to believe that you have something of a garage filled with vehicles.
I do. At the moment, filled with a lot of shit boxes as well.
Yeah.
But it's put to the side. So I've got a selection of British, mostly random vehicles that are a bit of a passion that most people just sigh about, Gordon included. But good fun.
What about any Jags?
A couple of Jags, but a few XJs, starting a 1972 Series 1 that I resprayed myself. So quite happy with that.
Not with
contact. Worrying, Dexter moment when I got home to find the garage wrapped in plastic wrap, like a scene from Dexter. And he's quite a fan. And I rolled the garage shutter door up and saw all this wrap and thought, that's not good.
Respray or kill room. Yeah. So yeah, I've resprayed that. Got a 95 X300, one of the most reliable Jags, and so underrated. And then an X350 2005 one.
Beautiful. And now, tomorrow, I believe you're off somewhere. You're going to take the shitbox with you.
Indeed. We're taking that down, and a couple of other cars as well. But yep, the shitbox will be on display down at the British and European show at Flemington, which is now also including the Japanese car show. So if anyone wants to come and have a good laugh at a gold-wrapped Merc that's going to take us 4,000 k's to the Outback, come on down.
Do it.
But it's a fantastic show. It gets probably 250, 300 British, European, Japanese this year cars along. Yeah, good for a wonder.
Awesome. Well, and I think the crew from Motor Friends will be down there.
Absolutely.
So let yourself be known if you're down there. Now, if people want to donate, if they want to get in touch, just want to say hi pretty much, how can they do that with you guys?
So we've got a website set up. You can search for the Shitbox Rally and find out a lot more about it, including the crazy routes that we're going. But we've got our own website, which is pathflounder.com, which turned out to be quite apposite, because the Pathfinder did in fact flounder.
That's
before
terrific.
We set off. So
beautiful. So people can head there and they can donate.
Yes,
just absolutely. Online and that kind of thing. Well, yeah, if you're out there and you want to donate, please do that. It's a terrific cause. And we wish you the best, and hopefully when we're back in 3 months we will have you back, because you'll be alive and it'll be great.
Hopefully. So not bitten by dingoes.
Exactly. Alien Gordon, thank you very, very much.
Thanks
for joining us. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think I was trying to be Russell Crowe from Romper Stomper. That's actually really terrifying. So that's exciting. I'm really excited for those guys. I hope they do well.
I want to do that rally one.
Yeah.
So
do I. Joy one.
Oh, my God. What colour would the car be?
I think we know.
I think we
know.
Yeah.
What kind of car would it be? That's a
Ford
real question.
Capri.
Oh. we wouldn't all get in, would we?
I spoke too soon.
Oh dear, you've disgraced yourself. You've marred the very name of
an FJ Land Cruiser. Come on,
yeah. Actually,
my neighbour
like
has one of those. I'm gonna get it open for a grand.
Do it
if I tried really, really hard.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. All right. That's it then. Done. Do it.
Wouldn't need any
repairs. I forgot to ask them if they have air conditioning.
It's a Mercedes. Of course it does.
81.
Yeah, actually, I think the S-Class is.
We should talk to Macca and see if Mercedes want to get involved.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
Wow. Oh, look out!
They
look
would out. They'd love to, but then as soon as that thing breaks down, they're gone. They'll drop like a hot potato.
Yeah. It's true. Now we're 10 minutes away from having a small break. Guys, I know you're tearing up. There's emotions in the room. But you're not going to believe this. The motoring world will continue in our absence.
No, it won't.
It probably won't.
Not in any significant
way. In some small way, it will die. Yeah, for
it will
months.
A little bit. But there's actually, it does quieten down a bit on the motor show front after next month. So it's, we're coming up to, I think it's New York and Beijing Motor Show next month.
Yeah, then there's a bit of a lull, and then we kick back up with Paris towards the end of the year.
Gay Paris,
and a few other ones that come towards the end of the year, but there is a nice little break in the middle of the year. So,
and New York, will be. I think it's halfway through next month, just before Easter, and we already know of a couple of things that are going to be shown there. So do keep your eyes out for some exciting concepts. But it's actually not that exciting. I just went through my list before, and there's some fairly dull cars that are going to be revealed there. Well, they might be dull. I'm judging. They're dull on the pictures I've seen so far. I'm talking about, people, the Hyundai Sonata.
All right.
Yeah. We've seen the pictures already. That's going to be shown there. It looks fine.
It's some car.
It's a car.
What else is going to be there?
The updated Camry.
Hello.
All right. Yeah. Wow. What a way. Let's send the sheriff with a bang. Let's talk about Sonatas and Camrys.
Subaru Outback and...
Oh, God.
What the hell? New York's a city of glamour. Why are all these car makers revealing their boring cars there? What is going on?
Last year, I think they revealed like the Range Rover Sport. That's pretty cool.
Damn straight.
You know, what's going on, guys? Not very exciting. So, the most exciting one out of that, the Nissan Murano.
Wow.
Ooh.
Hold the phone.
Look, that could be interesting. If it looks anything like the concept, that resonance concept.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do another Murano convertible.
Oh,
remember they did that in America?
Yeah. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
It's like Paris Hilton's dream car.
I've been spared ever seeing one of those.
In other words, probably quite popular at Joy.
They didn't... Did they even make it, or was it just a concept?
No, they made it.
That is sickness. Thank they God they didn't bring it here. What do you think would be the dumbest car to make a convertible?
This is a great talk topic. I wish you'd given us a bit of prep for this.
I know, I've just thrown it at
well,
you.
Well, okay, when I was still working in the UK, there was a gentleman who used to pop into the BMW garage I was working at, and he had he'd done a home job, chopped the roof of a BMW 6 Series, the very first one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Now, that was a bloody great car.
Imagine that
lovely old wedge-shaped 6 Series, the first Model E 2024. Yeah, that thing, without a roof, it looked amazing.
Would have been a bit wobbly.
It honestly felt like it was going to fall in half at every moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know,
awful car drive.
I think like an old XF Falcon Ute without its roof, because the cabin would be a continuation of the tray. So it would just be like a really, really, really long...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon that could.
That'd be awesome. You know, I've got the winner though.
Yeah, go on.
The new Hiace.
Yes. Oh my god, amazing!
With those sexy DRLs and that new grill.
Wow.
Oh, do some chap laps in that
trapezoidal. God, that's a good word. yes. So I don't know why we went down that path, but look. Anyway, things happening while we're away. And Beijing. Beijing's happening. Lots of things happening at Beijing.
Growing in significance to an enormous way, and us motoring journos are always going to Europe and America for motor shows. I think we should be going to China more because that is the engine room.
Seems
of the
to
future.
Be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ford are going to show their little Escort. I don't know what her name is. Or his, exactly.
Yeah, sexist on the last episode, I was
saying. Now your true colours are coming.
I know, it's true.
Of course, the Escort, most notable for the fact that it was largely done in Australia by Ford Australia's R&D team for China, which is a good thing, because we don't hear a lot of good news stories about Australia in terms of its car design.
Bloody right, mate. Excellent. Let's shout it from the hills, and we got good news.
Yeah.
Frankly, we need more of it.
And is this, so that's going to be a China car, but will it go to like other...
It's going to be a China car. China car. That is just, that's like making a telephone screen out of glass. That's a stupid thing to do.
Imagine ZANCAP rating it. It would just shatter. Wouldn't it?
Pretty much.
I have seen test mules, as they're called in the business. So those cars you see covered in the fancy wrap and all that. I've seen a right-hand drive one getting around.
I want one like that.
Stealth, which suggests they're going to make it for India too.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, that's what colour we do. This is sold. You know when we do the shitbox rally? Oh, shitbox.
Make it look like a test mule.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. That's the way we're
going to... And we'll have car paparazzi following us. What's this new exciting model?
We'd have more coverage than anyone. Yes. It'd be excellent.
That's true. It's true. Boys, it's over. We're done. Aww. Shut it down.
Really oh, well.
I know. Look, the good news is that the fabulous Dylan has just walked past, and he will be on air very shortly with Little Fish, so make sure you stick around for that. But the bad news is it's all over for us for 3 months. We will be back, of course. We promise we'll be back.
Fly by.
And if you want to stay in touch, we do have Facebook and Twitter. Fenderbender Joy is our handle for both of them, so just go and find them. And again, go to the joy.org.au/Fenderbender if you want some podcasts so you can never, ever not listen to us.
Tim, we always sit here as your very worthy guests. We're very, very thankful that you keep welcoming us back, somewhat perplexingly actually.
Well,
why we keep welcoming. But you know, we sit and we bask in your glory. Fenderbender is your thing, and you work very hard from 1 week to the next to produce this show. You do a bloody good job of it, and we would like to say thank you so much.
Aww, thank you.
You're the best, Tim.
I'm gonna get a little emotional. I just weed my pants a little bit.
Oh dear.
No, thank you. Well, I couldn't do it without you boys, quite literally. It would be really dull. I've done it a couple of times, and man, it was dull. So thank you guys for coming in every week. It's a big commitment. And a big thanks to everyone involved here at Joy, who's amazing. Of course, Ellie and Gordon for coming in today. Anthony and Heath on the phones. Kyle, who does our podcasts, who is terrific. But also to the listeners. To
absolutely
y'all.
Right.
All y'all.
Yep,
thank you so much.
No point having a show unless we've got lovely people to listen. Thanks for all your messages over the years and months.
Yeah. And we will be back. We'll be back soon.
I'm going to go cry for 3 straight months.
Exactly. Let's put some tears into a beer.
Speaking of beer.
Yeah. Ta-da. No, thank you, boys. And that's us. That's me signing off. My name's Tim Nicholson. Safe driving. Bye.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.